And now to share her experience, strength, and hope with us, we have Tiffany.
Hi, I'm Tiffany. I'm an alcoholic. Can you hear me? Okay. No? All right. It's good to be here. Good to be sober. I want to thank Brian for asking me to speak. I love that guy. And all right, I'll tell you my story. I'm from the Bronx. My mother was 16 and my dad was 24 when they got married. And my dad was a heroin addict. And by the time I was two, my mom had another baby, and my parents were divorced, and we were on welfare. And my dad was a very bad addict. He was, you know, he would steal everything in the house, and my mother fell in love with her cousin and moved us to California. And then we came back to the Bronx, and we lived with my grandparents. We lived with my dad. My sister and I got moved around a lot. And my dad used to get high in front of us. I didn't know that at the time. I just thought that he was sleepy. You know, he'd be nodding out. And he'd be a great guy. He would play with us. He'd tickle us. And then he'd go in the bathroom and come out as somebody else. And when I was four, my mother met another man who abused me. And so he abused me until I left the house when I was 18. And there were other people that abused me as well. So it was just really, really sad in the house. There was a lot of violence, a lot of dysfunction. And, you know, I just had a lot of fear and a lot of sadness and a lot of anger before I even picked up a drink. And they used to tell me that I was crazy. They sent me to a lot of different doctors. And so I wanted to die at a very young age. It was just a very, very sad childhood. And so the first time I got drunk, I thought that I had found the answer to life. And I was like, this is how people get through life, because I was so miserable. And the first time I got drunk, it was in Van Cortlandt Park in the Bronx. And I went to go, you know, hang out with these friends, and the boys bought some beer, and I got drunk. And it was a very dramatic night. I felt like it was made just for me. My friend, she pulled me to the side, and she's like, Tiffany, we have to leave the park. Something bad is gonna happen to you. And someone else pulled me, and they're like, she's just jealous of you. You know, she has a curfew. Don't leave. And they were, like, pulling me by the arms, and they started throwing rocks at her to get away from me. And the boys pretended to be my bodyguards to get me out of the park. And I was like, this is how I should have been treated my whole life. And I felt like a superstar. And that was the first time in my life that the voices in my head were silent. And, you know, my dad had died. He overdosed when I was 13. He had HIV before he died. My stepmother did too, and she died. So, you know, when I found alcohol and drugs, you know, I just, I didn't think about that. You know, nobody was abusing me. You know, none of that stuff was happening. And I just had a very difficult time. You know, I was very shy fitting in anywhere because I didn't feel like a kid. I had all these grown-up problems at home, and I felt like, you know, you didn't go to school and talk about what was really going on. And I felt like I had nobody to talk to. I felt like I didn't fit in anywhere. I felt like I was supposed to be a kid, but I felt like way beyond my years. And then I found alcohol, and it made me not care. And so I started hanging out at Van Cortlandt Park every weekend, and because I, you know, I felt like a superstar, and I chased that feeling for the rest of the time I drank. And And it progressed very quickly. Within a year, I was drinking every day. And in freshman year, I was a cheerleader. I got good grades. And, you know, by the, when I started drinking, you know, that all, that became the most important thing. And I got a job because I had a plan. I was like, okay, I'm going to get my own place so I can drink and get high the way I want to. And so I went to school. I was going to Catholic school because my dad's Social Security from his death paid for my tuition. So I was this nice Catholic school girl, and then I'd go to work. And then after work, I was out in the street, like, just not coming home. And I would, I mean, every day meet somebody on the street, you know, a guy, of course, would stop the car. And I'd say, I want to get high. And that's what I did. And I thought I was having fun. And I was just like, I wouldn't even know these guys. You know, we'd be drinking. After I'd get drunk, you know, they'd say, oh, I got to get home to my wife. Or, oh, I just got out of jail. And I'm like, what? Like, I was just like, well, I got to get out of here. And then I was like, how do I meet all these crazy people? Yeah, because I was crazy. And so my drinking progressed. And when I was 18, well, 2 weeks after my 18th birthday, my stepfather came after me for the last time. And my mother called me a liar. And I left the house, and I slept on my grandma's couch, and my mother didn't even, you know, call me ever. You know, my graduation, my prom, I paid for everything myself. She wasn't there. She did come to my graduation because I had sent her a thank you card for being my mother with the graduation ticket in it, and she came, and she left right away. And we still don't have a relationship to this day. But so I was very angry and sad and an alcoholic and an addict. And I was really messed up. But on the outside, I made it look like, you know, I was all together. And so I was sleeping on my grandmother's couch. And I got into college. I worked like 3 jobs. I worked like a dog. I went to school full time. Then I got a full time job in corporate America. And I'll tell you like about my first Christmas party. I was 20 years old, and everyone was saying, "Oh, you know, the Christmas party's so much fun. This is a chance for everybody to get loose and party." And at this time, I already started blacking out. So I didn't know that the first drink gets you drunk, but I knew that when I drank, you know, sometimes I got a little crazy. So I was like, oh, I have class, you know, I can't go. And the day came, and I was like, it's open bar, and I'm going. And I got all dressed up, and I went to work, and I'm like, okay, don't pull my arms, I'll go. And I skipped class and I went because it was open bar. And after the second martini, I don't know what happened. And I woke up the next day, I was still drunk. Somebody had left me a note. There were voicemails on my phone. And I had blisters on my hands. And I'm like, you know, my head's spinning. I'm like, okay, what, trying to put the pieces together. And I'm like, I think I did good at the work party. You know, I know it got a little crazy afterwards, but I didn't even dance with anybody. I did good. So I go to work, and everybody runs up to me. They're like, Tiffany, do you know what you did last night? I'm like, what? And, well, they told me I was smoking 2 cigarettes at a time, and I was so drunk. I just let them burn on my skin. It was really painful. I just had, like, all these blisters on my fingers. And they said that, you know, I was pulling the guys by their tie. And I tried to kiss my boss, and then I tried to kiss the mailroom guy whose girlfriend works there. And they said that when I left, I was talking about this other party afterwards, and I'm like cursing and asking who wants to come with me, and I hailed a cab, I smashed my face into a brick wall, I jumped in a cab, and the cab drove away with the door open, so my feet were hanging out of the cab, and it just kept going. And that's how I left the party. And then, you know, I went to another party, and that's a whole nother story. And so, you know, I got in trouble for that because legally I wasn't even supposed to be drinking on the, you know, on the company's tab. And HR spoke to me, and my boss spoke to me, and the CFO spoke to me, and you know, then they were just laughing, and then I started laughing like, you know, it was funny, and then I realized they were laughing at me, and I became ashamed, and they had pictures, this was before Facebook, okay, so they had pictures, and they were sending it around, an email, and I was just like, you know, I felt really ashamed, and, you know, then I rationalized it, well, you know, those old people, they don't know how to party, you know, I'm never going to drink in front of them again, and I didn't for 3 years, and I never lived down that reputation, and that was when I started drinking more at home by myself, and by this time, I had gotten my own place. And I fell in love with my dealer, and he had been my best friend for many years, and he was, you know, an addict. I let him like live off of me. We were always fighting, you know, kicking, calling the cops. A cop lived upstairs. It was just bad. Okay, it was very abusive. I abused him, and he abused me, and. And it just continued like that. And so the last, my last semester of college, I was 22 years old. And I almost didn't graduate because my GPA was too low. And, you know, I just was like, I remember I was told my friend at work, she was like my big sister. I said, you know, I think I need to see a psychiatrist because I have all these men issues, you know, I keep attracting these crazy men because, you know, I knew from my childhood, like, it was not going to be easy for me, you know, and I kept trying and it wasn't happening, you know, I didn't think that, I thought the alcohol and the drugs was helping me, you know, I thought it was helping me cope, and I thought that, like, it was everything else, you know, if I got, you know, when I get my college degree or when I get a nice boyfriend or when I get this nice apartment, then I'll be like in control. And so I told my friend at work, I need to see a psychiatrist. Oh, because we went to happy hour, right? And she left like at 7. And I stayed out and I come out of a blackout at 4 in the morning. My ex-boyfriend's choking me on the side of the road. I walk home barefoot, okay, like holding a pencil in my hand, snarling, like if anybody comes near me, like, and then I'm like, wake up the next day to go to work, my feet are black, I'm like trying to put the pieces together, and I'm like, you know, these damn men issues, I just, I gotta get some help, so I told my friend, and she's like, so I was like, can you, you know, help me and recommend somebody? And she's like, I said, I really need to work on these men issues. She's like, you really need to work on your drinking. And I'm like, really? And so I started going to this therapist, and she yelled at me one day. She's like, you need to get honest with your drinking. I was like, really? And so I kept blacking out, trying to do things differently. And, you know, the insanity, the same thing kept happening. And you know, I went to therapy one session and I said, okay, I know I have a problem, but I'm not ready to stop because I thought I was too young and I had plenty of time to figure it out. And, I started telling people like my sister and my grandma and some of my high school friends kept saying, you know, you need to control your drinking, you need to stop. And And I started saying, I'm going to go to AA as a joke. And I would wait for them to laugh, and they would say, yeah, I think that you should. And I was like, really? And so I you know, went online to AA chat rooms, and I took the test, and I passed or failed, however you want to look at it. And I was like, I remember I was like typing, you know, I'm not an alcoholic. I don't need to stop drinking. I just need to stop blacking out. And this woman said, well, Tiffany, if you don't get drunk, if you don't drink, you can't get drunk and you can't black out. And I was like, well, that's true. But how do you stop drinking? You know, I couldn't imagine my life without having a drink. And I mean, it was just so much, like, I was like into the club scene. And then so I kept drinking and trying to find the secret and to control it, and I kept blacking out. And so the end of my drinking, what had happened was, you know, I'm in therapy, I'm in these AA chat rooms, I'm like, I mean, I was dating this one guy, you know, I was dating a few guys, I was seeing this one guy, and I really liked him. And he stopped talking to me one day, and we had worked together. And, you know, of course I'd never talked about anything, like, that asshole, you know, he's a jerk and whatever. And then like a month later, I saw a videotape from the last night that we were together, and I was like, that was the first night that I was meeting like 10 of his closest friends, and I was slapping him in the face and like saying all these personal things about him. And I was like, oh my God, like, I was in a blackout. Even my face, people used to tell me I used to do this thing with my face, jaw, I looked like crazy and ugly. And I was like, I remember I called my friend and I told her, oh, I saw this tape. She's like, don't you think that's why he stopped talking to you? I was like, really? And I still didn't get it. And then I called him, and I asked him, and he told me, like, you know, I can't deal with you drinking. And I still, like, I guess, was in such denial. I was just like, I don't know. I knew something was wrong, that a month had passed and I saw a tape, and I still didn't understand. I just didn't understand. And I called, you know, I said, God, I can't do this anymore. And a voice inside of me said, pick up the phone and call AA. And I called into group. It was Halloween, 7 years ago. And the guy was like, you know, there's a beginner's meeting at Tremont in the Bronx at 6:30. And I'm like, well, I want to go, but it's Halloween, and I'm going to go out tonight and drink. And he's like, well, make a deal with me. You can go to the meeting and then go out and drink. And I was like, okay. He's like, you know, hold on. Try not to drink before you get there. I'm like, oh, God. And so I don't drink. I walk to this meeting, and I walk in, and I'm like, you know, oh, he's a loser. You know, she's a whatever. She's a loser. And whatever. I didn't, I just compared myself to everybody. I thought that I was better than, you know, that I was too young. And there were two things I heard at that meeting. They said, just keep coming back. You know, they were chanting, just keep coming back. And then they were like, if you're new and you don't know anybody, if you're a woman, get a woman's number. If you're a man, get a man. And I saw the chairperson of the meeting, and I thought she was the president of AA. And I'm like, oh, I bet you she knows the secret to, drinking safely so I won't black out. And, I went up to her, and I got her number, and I went out that night and drank. And I mean, like, you know, my costume was hot. I was Nurse Candy. I had like this. I was crazy. And the next day I'm riding the train from Brooklyn to the Bronx with all these AA pamphlets. pamphlets, all hungover. I'm like looking for the beginner section, and I'm like, I don't see any drinking tips in here. And I'm like, oh no, the first drink gets you drunk. Stay away from the first drink. Oh no, this is not gonna work. And I called the president of AA, and when I got off the train, and she, you know, I told her it wasn't for me, and she shared her story with me, and I identified, and she picked me up that night for a meeting, and that was where my journey began. And so I just want to say that, you know, I'm so glad that I stayed in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. I mean, I'm a proud member of AA today. There's nothing that I wouldn't do for AA. My life, I'm not that girl that walked in here, you know, those years ago. And thank God for that. But I have a beautiful life, and, you know, it's not perfect. And I just want to say this, you know, when I came in, everyone was like, oh, you're so young, you're so lucky, you know, be life beyond your wildest dreams, blah, blah, blah. And I really can't stand that, because you know, life is life, you know. I just really thought that because, you know, I had a really horrible childhood, and I'm like, and now I have to be an alcoholic, and I can't drink anymore, and like, I really thought that, like, I don't know, that I was going to get all these rewards, you know? And I have, but it's a lot different than what I expected. So, you know, AA has taught me acceptance. So I just want to thank you for listening.